This is BBC Radio 3. We're on 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and also online. The time now is 1 o'clock, and here's the BBC News. I'm Jill Anderson. Two 15-year-old girls have been arrested on suspicion of manslaughter after a firefighter was killed tackling a blaze in Manchester last night. Stephen Hunt was among 60 crew called to the fire in the storeroom of Paul's Hair World in Oldham Street. Mr. Hunt was 38 and had two children. Senior colleagues said it appeared he'd been overcome by sudden and intense heat. Seven police officers were hurt in Belfast last night during a second night of rioting by loyalists. Officers were attacked with petrol bombs, fireworks and stones. 32 officers were injured on Friday night. The father of an unarmed black teenager who was shot dead in Florida by a Neighbourhood Watch volunteer has said he's heartbroken that his son's killer has been cleared. George Zimmerman, who's 29, shot 17-year-old Trayvon Martin during a confrontation in a gated community in February last year. He'd argued that he'd acted in self-defence. A BBC Panorama investigation suggests that 50 soldiers and veterans took their own lives last year, compared with 44 troops who were killed in Afghanistan. The Ministry of Defence says suicide among members of the armed forces is extremely rare, and the rates are lower than among civilians. Police in Canada say they're not treating as suspicious the death of one of the stars of the television series Glee. Corey Monteith, who was 31, played Finn Hudson in the show about an American high school choir. He was found dead in a hotel room in Vancouver. A woman has been killed while walking her dog in Prudhoe in Northumberland. The dog also died. Police are appealing for the driver of the car to come forward. Placido Domingo has left hospital in Madrid after spending 5 days being treated for a blood clot in his lung. The tenor's son, Alvaro Domingo, said he expected his father to spend 3 weeks recuperating and that he was not considering retiring. The 72-year-old singer cancelled 6 appearances in Madrid because of his treatment. It's emerged that the Harry Potter author, J.K. Rowling, has secretly written a crime novel under another name. The Sunday Times reported that the writer won plaudits for The Cuckoo's Calling, about a war veteran turned private investigator. Rowling used the pseudonym Robert Galbraith for the book, which was published in April. Kate Mills, a fiction editor at another publisher, Orion Books, has admitted on Twitter that she turned down the book. She called for others to confess if they'd done the same. A bus company has been accused of losing its way with words when advertising for a passenger assistant. Go Ahead London advertised for a good face-to-face communicator who had customer-facing experience and a natural flair for going the extra mile. The Plain English campaign said an advertisement for a bus conductor would have been a better option. And the weather. It's continuing dry, warm and very sunny across England and Wales. It's hot in the south, where temperatures could reach 30 Celsius, but it's cooler in northern areas, with rain or drizzle in northern Scotland. Temperatures are 23 Celsius in Manchester, 20 in Edinburgh, 19 in Belfast and 26 in London. And that's the BBC News and weather. It's coming up to 4 minutes past one. And now, with more highlights from this year's York Early Music Festival, here's Catherine Bott with the Early Music Show.
Hello and welcome to the second of our programmes marking the 300th anniversary of the death of the composer and virtuoso violinist Arcangelo Corelli. Yesterday we heard music from the composers from whom he learned his art and with whom he worked in Rome. Today we're going to hear two of his finest trio sonatas, played by La Risonanza, as part of their concert in the 2013 York Early Music Festival. There's more than that to enjoy, but let's begin right away with Corelli's captivating trio sonata in A major, Opus 3, number 12, in 9 concise movements. Thank you. La Risonanza, directed from the harpsichord by Fabio Bonizzoni, playing a trio sonata from Corelli's Opus 3 set of pieces designed to be played in church. More on the 17th century sonata later, but we're about to hear another sonata from Opus 3 in a new guise. La Risonanza's lineup for their concert in York included two richly voiced singers, soprano Yetzabel Arias Fernandez and alto Elena Biscuola, who came as a bit of a surprise, given that Corelli's output was, surely, all instrumental. Well, yes and no. Fabio Bonizzoni has been delving into the work of one of Corelli's most fervent admirers, the musician and teacher Antonio Tonelli, who, by way of paying tribute to a great master, arranged 12 of his sonatas to create vocal works of conviction and eloquence. Here's a setting of the ancient hymn Ave Regina Caelorum. Hail, O Queen of Heaven, O Lady of Angels. Rejoice, O Glorious Virgin, lovely beyond all others.
Thank you.
Ave Regina Celorum, a Marian antiphon for soprano and alto, which began life as an instrumental sonata from Corelli's Opus 3 and was developed into a vocal work with love and care by Antonio Tonelli. The singers were soprano Yetzabel Arias Fernandez and alto Elena Biscuola, with Fabio Bonizzoni directing the ensemble La Risonanza from the harpsichord. Antonio Tonelli was born 33 years after Arcangelo Corelli, so it's easy to imagine the famous composer and violinist being the subject of a humble cellist's hero worship. Tonelli once wrote that, "If you learn from the divine Corelli, you will become an earthly archangel." Fabio Bonizzoni looks on Tonelli's labour of love as offering us a new way of understanding Corelli's music. When Fabio and I talked before his concert in York, he elaborated on this idea, but I began by asking him about how his group, La Risonanza, had come into being.
I was asked to play a concert with an ensemble, and so I built up a group of friends. So I didn't have any plan, actually, to make an ensemble. And this first concert, we just enjoyed very much playing together, that we say, should we go on? And then we went on slowly, not very convinced at the beginning, actually. And at one point it took over, so to say, and now it takes all my energies somehow.
So this sounds like a very informal start for what was Fabio and Friends.
It keeps being very informal, I think. Actually, we're still very informal.
You don't have a mission to achieve certain repertoire or certain venues.
We aim playing beautiful music, but it's not just. I mean, it's quite complicated if you want to play nicely and still having fun. But I mean, this is a bit what we try having.
Corelli is the theme, but you are shedding a bright light on an aspect of Corelli's music that a lot of people won't know anything about.
We were talking about mission. I think I don't feel I have any mission, but if I just by accident have a mission or choose a mission, is try to shed new light on music or on composers we know already. We try, in the case of Corelli, to have his music, but as well to see how it was managed, how it can be transformed, actually, by adding text and voices to it.
Were these arrangements of Corelli's music, were they done in his lifetime, with his permission?
No, after that, after his life, by Antonio Tonelli, was teacher, basically, and he wrote these arrangements to help singers, as a school for singers, because they are supported by violins. And at the end, I mean, these exercises, they become eventually masterpieces. Masterpieces by Corelli with a very good sound, thanks to Tonelli.
Tonelli is not known as a composer.
No, but he's not a composer. And he didn't compose anything. He just rearranged a bit the trio sonatas for the voices.
But he arranged them with love and sure instinct.
Yeah, instinct and knowledge as well of the contrapoint and of the text. He chose quite cleverly, I would say, which text to put on which sonatas. And sometimes he swapped and changed the order of some movement just to adapt the feeling of the music to the meaning of the text.
Fabio Bonizzoni. So far, we've heard two sonatas from Corelli's Opus 3 set of 12, the second arranged as a sacred vocal work by Antonio Tonelli. And it's appropriate that he should have used a sacred text, because the Opus 3 sonatas were written to be played in church. The sonata, in Corelli's time, came in two kinds. First, the sonata da camera, or chamber sonata, which Corelli in particular developed into a highly expressive form of music making in which virtuosity was at the service of the affetti, which you could call emotions or moods represented in music. He also excelled at the more rigidly structured sonata da chiesa, or church sonata, in which the affetti were designed to evoke a suitably uplifted response from the listener. Having said that, though, the next music we're going to hear is decidedly secular and intended to move the listener's feet to get on the dance floor. Corelli was one of the greatest exponents of that infinitely satisfying Baroque idea, the variations on a repeated bass line called, in Italian, the ciacona. Thank you. A Ciacona by Arcangelo Corelli, played by La Risonanza. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, and the second of two programmes over this weekend marking the genius of Corelli on the 300th anniversary of his death. Time for another two sonatas by Corelli, arranged by Antonio Tonelli to make vocal duets. Not a common practice then, although nowadays it sometimes seems that in the interests of crossover, no plangent aria is safe from being turned into an oboe solo, and no orchestral adagio from the addition of lyrics. Tonelli was not driven by commercial considerations, but by admiration for a composer whom he knew to be far more gifted than he was himself. And he went to familiar sacred texts when choosing the words for these arrangements, so that his students would feel at ease with them quickly. Certainly, Yetzabel Arias Fernandez and Elena Biscuola performed these duets with zest and enthusiasm. This is Salve Regina. Hail, Queen, Mother of Mercy, to thee we cry, the banished children of Eve. Turn upon us thine eyes so full of mercy, O compassionate, O pious, O sweet Virgin Mary.
Salve, 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 salve
by Tonelli after Corelli. That was Salve Regina, sung by soprano Yezabel Arias Fernandez and alto Elena Biscuola, with La Risonanza directed by Fabio Bonizzoni. Tonelli gave his collection of pieces a fairly all-embracing title. Corelli turned into four antiphons and eight tantum ergo settings for various voices, taken from Opus 3 and Opus 4, to lead students to the best performance, both of the sound and the melody. And the next vocal piece is indeed a tantum ergo. Let us therefore venerate so great a sacrament with heads bowed, and let the old practice give way to the new rite. Let faith provide a supplement for the failure of the senses.
Thank you.
La Risonanza with Tantum Ergo by Tonelli after Corelli, not too far after. Listening, it was clear that all these pieces had begun life as instrumental works. Instruments, being fixed pitch things, don't need a pitch cue at the start of a piece to get their note. And these arrangements tended not to give the singers any help at all. They were required to start on the downbeat as if they were trumpets or violins. But all praise to Jezebel and Elena. Their opening notes rang out each time as confidently as if they were both blessed with perfect baroque pitch. The other Corelli trio sonata in La Risonanza's concert was the ninth in his Opus 1 set of church sonatas dedicated to Queen Christina of Sweden, who was such an asset to Roman musical life.
Thank you.
Corelli's Trio Sonata Opus 1, Number 9 in G Major, played by La Risonanza. Harpsichordist Fabio Bonizzoni directed from the harpsichord, with violinists Carlo Lazzaroni and Renata Spotti, and cellist Caterina Dell'Agnello. To end their concert, they were joined once more by soprano Yetzabel Arias Fernandez and alto Elena Biscuola, who sang Corelli and Tonelli's Alma Redemptoris Mater. Loving Mother of the Redeemer, Gate of Heaven, Star of the Sea, assist your people who have fallen yet strive to rise again.
Surgere, surgere, qui curat, popul surgere, surgere, qui curat. Surgere, surgere, qui curat, popul surgere, qui curat. Thank you.
Alma Redemptoris Mater, a final flowering of Antonio Tonelli's homage to Arcangelo Corelli, performed by La Risonanza to end their concert Voicing Corelli, given in the 2013 York Early Music Festival. And as an encore, a duet from the serenata La Senna Festeggiante by the composer whom Fabio Bonizzoni called the other great Italian violin virtuoso besides Corelli, Antonio Vivaldi.
The duet Lo qui provo un si caro diletto from the serenata La Cena Festeggiante by Antonio Vivaldi. The encore given by La Risonanza, directed from the harpsichord by Fabio Bonizzoni from their concert given as part of this year's York Early Music Festival. Full music details from today's Early Music Show are available on the Radio 3 website, where you can listen again to that programme for the next 7 days. The Early Music Show was presented by Catherine Bott and produced by Chris Wines.
At the BBC Proms and live on BBC Radio 3, Viva Verdi. The second in a pair of concerts from Sir Antonio Pappano and the orchestra of the Rome Academy of Santa Cecilia includes the four sacred pieces and from the Requiem, the dramatic Liberame. Saturday night at the BBC Proms from 7:30.
And indeed, there's a prom this evening starting at 7:30, given by Les Siècles, conducted by François-Xavier Roth. They'll be playing music by Lully, Rameau, Delibes and Massenet in the first part. And then in the second half, there's a performance of Stravinsky's Rite of Spring, a performance which will be using French instruments from the early 20th century. That's our prom tonight, starting at 7:30, and you can hear that live here on BBC Radio 3. Well, the time now is 3 minutes past two, and time for the Sunday concert. It was recorded in April at the Barbican, and it's introduced by Louise Fryer.
You join me at the Barbican, where the stage is due to be magically transformed. The BBC Symphony Orchestra are conjuring up Ravel's fantastical one-act opera L'Enfant et les Sortilèges, The Child and the Spells, with the help of live video projection in a specially devised concert version performed by talented young singers from the Royal Academy of Music and conductor Stéphane Deneuve. The opera centres on a mischievous child, the animals and objects he provokes finally have enough and decide to teach him a lesson. And there's a menagerie of animals joining a human zoo in the first half of the concert, in Poulenc's musical bestiary, assembled in a suite taken from his ballet Les Animaux Modèles, The Model Animals. It's inspired by a selection of fables by the 17th century French poet Jean de La Fontaine, and actor Stephen Mangan will be reading the poems, freshly translated by Craig Hill, in between the orchestral movements. Poulenc came up with the idea for the ballet in 1937, but by the time he started, it was August 1940 and France was under German occupation. The ballet came to encapsulate an idealised French countryside, carrying a subtle message of resistance. It was performed 29 times at the Paris Opera between 1942 and 44, and Poulenc weaves in the melody of a popular song from the 1870s called You'll Never Get Alsace-Lorraine, which went over the heads of the German officers in the stalls. The suite presents four of de La Fontaine's fables, slotted in between dawn and lunch. And even the animals that in the ballet were dressed as people in costumes from the time of Louis XIV embody characteristic human frailties. So after the calm dawn, we have Le Lion Amoureux, the lion in love. The magnificent beast is duped into having his teeth filed down and his claws removed so he won't mutilate his bride-to-be. Then comes the man between two ages and two mistresses, who is similarly scalped as each woman tries to fashion him to her own liking. Death and the woodcutter is testament to our preference to suffer on this earth rather than risk passing on to the next. Death, a beautiful masked dancer, until she removes the mask, when you'll hear the woodwind squawking in alarm. Lastly come the two cockerels, inflamed to fight as a hen strolls by, though the victor gets his comeuppance as he climbs onto the henhouse roof to crow about his triumph, and he's snatched by a passing vulture. After all that excitement, it's time for lunch, and the suite ends with the peasants saying grace and sitting down to eat. And that applause greets the arrival of Stephen Bryant, the leader of the BBC Symphony Orchestra, coming onto the stage. It's a very large orchestra, including bass, clarinet and contrabassoon, two harps, piano and celeste, and lots of percussion. And it's billed as a family concert, and it's great to see so many children in the audience. Here comes conductor Stéphane Deneuve, with actor Stephen Mangan joining the BBC Symphony Orchestra for Les Animaux Modèles by Francis Poulenc.
Thank you.